Well, welcome back to our study of Leviticus. We are in chapter 23, and I think we mentioned the last time, Pete said it so well, we're going to lay the foundation about these festivals of the Lord. And then we'll come back after we've read this 23rd chapter together and talk about them and learn about personal applications, because each one of these festivals is relevant to the new covenant believer today. So we're going to begin by taking a look this evening with the festival of first fruits. So let's read verses 9 through 11 together. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When you become unto the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then ye shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. And he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord, to be accepted for you. On the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it.
So there's several things you can look at in this first fruits. This is obviously pointing to Jesus, but here's what I wanted you to see. Like under the old covenant, God doesn't change. He required, when they had a harvest, that they were to give to God first. Understanding that they're in the land that God's given them, they're blessed, they have the harvest because of the mercy and the grace of God. And so what God is wanting them to do is by faith present to Him the first fruits. Now this is it's an act of faith, okay? And so they're not to partake of that harvest until they give to God first. And I think of that from a New Testament perspective of where to put God first place in our finances as well as of every other aspect of our life. But that we should consider God first. We are what we are by the grace of God. We have what we have by the grace of God. This is why I put great emphasis on giving thanks for food. But for the grace of God, we could be like many people and not have anything to eat. And so what they're doing, what God is requiring them to do, is you bring the first fruits to me, and that sheath, which is the bundle, is to be waved before the Lord. You're giving honor to the Lord for the harvest. And then you know harvest is coming. Pointing to Jesus, he said, unless a corn of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it goes into the ground and dies, it's going to bring forth fruit with it. And so Jesus was the first fruit in resurrection. You follow me? And he brought with him, according to Ephesians 4:8, those who had been held in the heart of the earth. He led captivity captives away to King James Version says. But he's the first fruit. Excuse me. And so to me, we give our best, our first, we give off of the top to the Lord. People say, well, what am I to give? Well, what is your heart telling you? How do you want God to give to you? People say, well, I don't believe in tithing. Do you believe in Luke 6:38? Given it shall be given unto you, good measure pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure you meet, you give, that's how it's measured back to you. And so if you just want God to tip his hat, then you tip yours. You want a spoonful, give a spoonful. But if you want a dump truck load, you better give a dump truck load. You understand what I'm saying? And so we give the first, the best. Give it to God. It's a principle. No, we're not under law. But I can tell you this, that tithing was before the law.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Yeah.
And so, why would I want to argue over what I should give to God? As a matter of fact, I don't want to just give Him 10%. Thank God He gives me more than 10. Isn't it amazing that even under this old covenant, you know, where they were to bring tithe and offering, but look at the percent that He gives to you. He gives you the ability to get what you get. And when you honor God, God blesses you. And so why shouldn't I honor Him with my giving? Why shouldn't I give Him the first fruits? You understand?
Yeah.
But we want to give God what's left over. And so often, there's not a lot left over. People say, well, after I retire, I'll do this and this and this for the Lord. Well, that usually doesn't happen. Give Him the first fruits. Amen.
That's good. Verse 12, and ye shall offer that day when ye wave the sheaf a he lamb without blemish of the first year for a burnt offering unto the Lord. And the meat offering thereof shall be 2/10 deals of fine flour mingled with oil, an offering made by fire unto the Lord for a sweet savor. And the drink offering thereof shall be of wine, the fourth part of a hin.
So the day the first fruit is weighed before the Lord, that day an offering was to be offered to the Lord. And I like the way it ends with this. It's a pleasant aroma to God. It's a, even though it's not called a Thanksgiving offering, it's a way to give thanks to God for what God has blessed you with. To wave the sheaf before the Lord, and then you give the offering to the Lord as a thank you. And God says, I like the fragrance of this. This smells good to me. You understand? Because they're following God's protocol. They're putting their faith and their trust in the Lord.
Verse 14, and ye shall eat neither bread nor parched corn nor green ears until the selfsame day that you have brought an offering unto your God. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings.
And so by God's law, the Israelites were not allowed to eat any bread, roasted grain, or grain products from their field until they had brought their first fruit offering to God. And He said, this is a perpetual statute. In other words, it's not just for this generation. You teach your children. It's for every generation.
Okay, now we're going to move into Pentecost, verse 15. And ye shall count unto you from the morrow, after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. Even unto the morrow after the 7th Sabbath shall you number 50 days, and ye shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord.
So we're in verse 15, 16, right?
Yes, sir.
Now, what's 7 sevens? 7 full weeks, 7 days in a week, right? So 7, 7 is 49 days, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, after they bring their first fruits to the Lord, then they're to celebrate the festival of Pentecost. Okay, we call it Pentecost. That word, he's calling it the 50 days, you understand? That word comes from the Greek word Pentecoste, and it just simply means 50th. And so anytime you hear the word Pentecost, it's 50. Now let me show you something interesting about that. After Jesus' resurrection, we know from Acts chapter 1 that he spent 40 days on the earth. He was on the earth 40 days after his resurrection before he ascended back into heaven. Mm-hmm. We know that he told his disciples to wait in Jerusalem until they were endued with power. And people say, well, we don't know how long they waited. Sure we did. When the day of Pentecost had fully come. Mm-hmm. First fruits to Pentecost. So there were 10 days. 40 days, 10 days, 50th day. Right?
Right.
Let me tell you, he didn't miss anything in fulfilling the law. He didn't get close. He was precise in the fulfillment of the law. Okay? And so it's important that we see that. And that's, you know, at this time they bring in their grain offering, obviously, with the first fruits.
And in verse 17, you shall bring out your habitations 2 wave loaves of 2 tenth deals. They shall be of fine flour. They shall be baked with leaven. They are the first fruits unto the Lord.
So they were to bring from their homes 2 loaves made from 4 quarts of flour. In other words, he's getting specific on how it's to be made, baked with leaven. And it was to be weighed before the Lord. These loaves were the first fruits to the Lord. Okay?
In verse 18, and you.
That's everybody has to do that.
Yeah.
Not just an offering from the nation, but that's an individual who is to do that.
And ye shall offer with the bread 7 lambs without blemish of the first year, and 1 young bullock and 2 rams. They shall be for a burnt offering unto the Lord, with their meat offering and their drink offerings, even an offering made by fire of sweet savor unto the Lord.
So with the bread for the wave offering, the Israelites were also, now this is a nation, were to offer 7 rams in their first year. 1 young bull, 2 older rams. And the younger rams could not have any physical defects. And these animals were offered as burnt offering to the Lord, along with the grain offering and the drink offering. So this would be a pleasant aroma for the Lord. Now, here's something that you have to constantly remind yourself of. These are brought to the Lord. But who's receiving these? The priest. And so the priest, as representatives of the Lord is not reaching down from heaven and eating this. But his representatives is supplying them food. Remember, that's their inheritance. The offerings of the Israelites were their inheritance. And so when they're bringing that, and the priests are doing exactly like God says, and they're eating of these things, then it is truly an offering to the Lord, and the offering is consumed by the Lord's representatives, if that makes sense to you. Mm-hmm.
Then ye shall sacrifice 1 kid of the goats for a sin offering, and 2 lambs of the first year for a sacrifice of peace offerings.
So, after offering the rams and the young bull, they were to offer a kid of goat for a sin offering. This is constantly revealing the sin that had not been eradicated. And so there had to be offerings constantly made, sin offering, and then 2 rams for the first year is a peace offering. Well, thank God Jesus became our sin offering. Mm-hmm. And according to Isaiah chapter 53, he's the one that brought peace mm-hmm. between God and man. What does the scriptures teach? So when Jesus' birth is announced, peace on earth?
Yeah.
goodwill toward men. In other words, what's he talking about? Peace. Peace between God and man. And so this peace offering is saying everything's right with God and man. That's why you bring these offers. Following the protocol kept them in right standing with God. But their righteousness was on credit. It couldn't be fulfilled until a sinless human being paid the penalty for sin.
Verse 20, and the priest shall wave them with the bread of the first fruits for a wave offering before the Lord. With the two lambs, they shall be holy to the Lord for the priest.
So these offers are presented to the priest. Priest waves these to the Lord. It's sacred to the Lord. And it's also, as we said earlier, the priest's food, supplying them with food.
And you shall proclaim on the selfsame day that it may be a holy convocation unto you. You shall do no servile work therein. It shall be a statute forever in all your dwellings throughout your generations.
Now, here there's something we want to explain, and I'm going to preface it by saying I am not legalistic, and I don't believe in being legalistic. Okay? But at the same token, there are things that we should do to honor God, not being legalistic, but out of love for the Lord. Okay? And so the day that these offerings were presented to the Lord, they would have quit working. No common labor. And they were to assemble together for a sacred assembly. The writer of Hebrews says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together when you see the day approaching. Okay? Mm-hmm. And a lot of people this day and age, they don't put any emphasis. They don't need to. They have their own little phrases that they want to use and try to excuse themselves. But isn't God worthy of just stopping what you're doing and give him a day? Just to honor God. As a matter of fact, one of the reasons that the Israelites went into captivity is they wouldn't honor God with rest. They wouldn't let the land rest. And God says, as long as you're in captivity, then the land will have rest. Okay? And so it's a fact of, it's a way of honoring God. It's not something, you're not worshiping a day. You're not just doing something because religion says so. But you set aside time for God. And so it didn't matter if it was the harvest time or the sowing time. When these seasons came around, these offerings were brought, you didn't work for these Sabbaths, which means rest. And we'll get into that a little more as we go through, because like the a lot of your festivals started with the Sabbath, but yet it was a date. And so you didn't work on that date, so it couldn't have been Saturday or Sunday. Believe it or not, that date doesn't come on the same day every year. And the 14th was the Passover, the 15th, unleavened bread. You started that festival with a holy convocation or a sacred gathering, an appointment with God. And then you ended that regardless of what day of the week it was. So that shows you that Sabbath is not just a day. It's rest. It's a time you set aside for God. And so when you look at the seventh day, as it said, the Sabbath, God rested the seventh day, okay? Then it's a time of giving honor to God. God ceased from his work, So he says, follow my pattern. You work 6 days, but that seventh day, honor me. Rest. Okay? You can jump in here anytime.
Thank you. Verse 22. And when you reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not make clean riddance of the corners of thy field when thou reapest, neither shalt thou gather any gleaning of the harvest. Thou shalt leave them unto the poor and to the stranger. I am the Lord your God.
So God had a welfare system, but it wasn't freeloaders. So the Israelites were told, when you harvest your crop, then don't harvest the edge of the fields. And then if you drop some while you're harvesting your grain, don't pick it up. You leave it in the fields. Because that was what was left, the edges of their fields, and what was dropped, that was for the poor and for the foreigners who were living among them. Now, here's what I say. Humor me with this God's welfare system, okay? The people had to go out, the poor or the foreigner would have to go out and get their food. Mm-hmm. You understand? It wasn't just handed to them on a platter. You follow me? But God did have a compassion for the poor. Merciful. And so he's teaching the whole nation, you be compassionate to the less fortunate. Don't be so greedy that you think you have to get everything out of there. But leave some for other people.
That's good. I was thinking about the economic system. We're going to read a little bit later with the year of Jubilee that God does have all of this established. And his ways are higher. I mean, they're so far superior, his thoughts are, than ours are. And he has accounted for every need. And if we would just recognize him as provider, he provides. He takes care of in every aspect.
There's not an economic system that's ever existed that can compare to God's economic system. And if that system were followed, then you wouldn't have rich, powerful people controlling everything. It would balance things out. So every 50 years, and we'll get into that later on, things balanced. Even in 7 years, every 7 years, he would deal with that. And then you can see here what we are calling a welfare, to where he's looking out after the poor and all that. God had this system set up. What got Israel was in trouble was their greed and their neglect of following God's procedure. And ultimately, they lost their land as a result of it.
His system is not based on self-centeredness.
Oh, absolutely not.
It's always, every bit of it is loving your neighbor as yourself, focusing on somebody else, not you.
For this system to work, you had to be God-centered.
Yes.
You had to focus on the Lord, doing things God's way. God is a merciful God. God's a compassionate God. You would want God to be merciful and compassionate to you. What if you were less fortunate? Would you not? What if you were going hungry? Would you not want someone to make a provision for you to where you could eat? Well, God incorporated all that in this economic system, if you will. But Israel didn't want to follow that. The sin of humanity, greed. What is it Paul said to Timothy? The love of money is the root of all evil. The love of it. You don't have to have a ton of money to have a love for money. You can be greedy and not have much. That just means you want it for yourself, you don't want to share. God's a sharing God. He shares himself with us. That is amazing. Have you ever heard of the Holy Spirit? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. That's good. Verse 23. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, I'm going to keep going here. Did I not?
What?
Yeah. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, let me do 24 too. Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall you have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein, but you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord.
So the Lord told Moses, teach the Israelites the law. I could put the word you in there, Moses. You teach these Israelites the law concerning this festival of trumpets. You teach them. They can't know it if you don't tell them. Now, God didn't speak to the nation. He spoke to the leader of the nation. There's a lot of principle in all this. Then the leader of the nation is responsible for telling the nation what God said. And so what God has said is on the first day of the seventh month, then you celebrate, note this, a memorial Sabbath. When is that? The first day of the seventh month. I mean, you know, that could be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. But the first day of the seventh month was a Sabbath. So what do you do on a Sabbath? All work stops. You rest. You honor God. And so they would have a sacred assembly, at which time the trumpets would be blown and a burnt offering would be presented to the Lord. The blowing of the trumpets. Honoring God. Okay? Do it God's way.
Verse 26, and the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, also on the tenth day of this seventh month there shall be a day of atonement. It shall be a holy convocation unto you, and you shall afflict your souls an offering and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord.
So what day was atonement? You remember? What? The tenth day of the seventh month?
Mm-hmm.
So we're in the sixth month, the blowing of the trumpets, and then he goes in and gives them instruction regarding the day of atonement. And during this time, they're to humble themselves and offer a burnt offering to the Lord. Now, the best I can tell, and sometimes it says humble, sometimes it says they were to afflict. It appears that the Day of Atonement was a day of fast. Okay? And so it's not a feast, obviously. It's the very opposite. It's a fast. You humbled yourself before the Lord. How many of you think you don't need that Day of Atonement, or in our case, that Day of Redemption?
Mm-hmm.
No, and to be redeemed, you have to humble yourself. If you're going to receive redemption, the redemption that the Lord Jesus Christ has provided for it, then you have to humble yourself, recognizing who you are as a sinner who's in need of a Savior. Otherwise, you can't be redeemed. Okay? And so, you humbled yourself for the Lord. Well, what are we offering to the Lord ourselves? You offer yourself to the Lord.
Verse 28, and you shall do no work in that same day, for it is a day of atonement, to make an atonement for you before the Lord your God. For whatsoever soul it be that shall not be afflicted in that same day, he shall be cut off from among his people. And whatsoever soul it be that doeth any work in that same day, that same soul will I destroy from among his people. You shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings.
This is a high day, you understand, this Day of Atonement. And, you know, I think we've already covered this pretty much with Leviticus 16, with the Lord's gates covering the nation for a year. But note how in these days, these appointed days, it's an appointment to meet with the Lord. And in these days, you meet with the Lord, don't work. You meet with the Lord, okay? And any person who did not humble himself before the Lord on the Day of Atonement says would be cut off. And if you look at that cut off, it's actually destroyed, okay? And any person who did any type of work on that day would be destroyed as well. Okay? And so God is being very specific. You honor me. You honor me on this day. You need to come before me on this day. This is the day your sin's going to be taken care of for a year. You understand? And so you'd better honor that. And if you don't, you cut off. And that was a perpetual law, or is a perpetual law for all generations of the Israelites.
That's good. To me, that's just pointing to the fact that the Lord is the only one that can do anything about the sin.
If you do not rest in Jesus, that's cease from your works of trying to obtain favor.
Right.
And you rest in the work that Jesus has done. If you don't do that, you're cut off. Because the only way to Father God is through Jesus Christ. You can't get there by works. It's by faith in a finished work. You with me? And so we cease from our works by exercising our faith in God instead of trying to jump through all this religious and traditional hoops to get favor with God. You believe in the one who has favor with God, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Verse 32, it shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest, and you shall afflict your souls in the ninth day of the month at even. From even until even shall you celebrate your Sabbath.
So then this Day of Atonement, it was a holiday of rest. And the Israelites, here again, he says, were to humble themselves before the Lord. And this festival was to begin on the evening of the ninth day. And it was to last till the seventh month. It began on the last day. It lasted 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And then during this time, atonement was made on the 10th day of the seventh month. And here again, that's when the two goats were offered, the Lord's goat killed and the scapegoat that was led away carrying the sin of the nation of Israel.
Now we move to tabernacles. Verse 33. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of the seventh month shall be the feast of tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. I'll stop right there.
Trumpets was on the first day of the seventh month. Day of Atonement was the 10th day of the seventh month. Then this feast of festival of tabernacles is on the 15th day of the seventh month. It was a 7-day festival. So that seventh month, there was much time given to the Lord. And this had to be taught to the nation of Israel. Now, the festival of tabernacles is also called the festival or the feast of booths. And what this was all about is remembering Booth is temporary. And so they were to, for a week, they were to live in these makeshift booths, if you will, not to live in their homes, recognizing the time that God brought them out of Egypt to taking them to the promised land. That journey was temporary dwelling. They lived in tents, right? Temporary dwellings. So you recognize every year the temporary dwelling, because God had a promised land he was taking them to, right? And I want you to think about this. I like the song, "I'm only passing through on my way home." Mm-hmm. This life, this physical life, this is temporary dwelling. And we need to constantly remind ourselves that there's more to life than what we're seeing right now. We're on a journey. And so this physical body that we're living in right now is a temporary dwelling. Honor God with that temporary dwelling. Recognize it for what it is, but knowing that he has provided a promised land for us. Amen? Mm-hmm. All right, our time's up, so we'll stop right there.
Again.